Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers are to run life's race for Christ, who taught us to love God with all our being as the first and greatest commandment. Now that's a tall order, one we'll explore today on our broadcast. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on the joy of generosity. Today, Dr. Lutzer probes our deepest motivations as he begins a message on Christ, the Lord of our affections.
As you know, it is my responsibility to prepare about 60 or 70 new sermons every year. And it's a responsibility that I accept very gladly. But I have to tell you honestly that this past week has been one of the most difficult for me, specifically because of the topic that I have chosen to speak on. As you know, this is the last in a series of messages on stewardship, and last week I spoke on the topic, Christ the Lord of our finances. And today I want to speak on Christ the Lord of our affections. And the text that I chose is one I have never preached on before. Thou shalt love the Lord our God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. When I chose that text, I thought to myself, that's an easy one to preach on. But the more I began to think about it, the more I agonized within my spirit, almost to the point of saying, I'm going to preach a different message. But I chose to stick with it. But let me explain why it is that this text caused me such emotional convulsion. First of all, because I thought to myself, this is an awesome passage of Scripture. Who in the world could love the Lord his God with all of his might, with all of his strength, and with all of his heart? That seems like an impossible dream. And I thought to myself, I'd like to be able to love God like that. But I looked within my heart and I saw coldness and indifference, and I thought, who could love God with such passion? It seemed impossible. There's a second difficulty that I had with it, and that is I thought to myself, who can love an invisible being like that? Now, if the text told me to love my wife with all my heart, mind, and soul, it may be difficult. Not because my wife is difficult to love, but because by nature I'm selfish. It may be difficult, but it would be manageable. At least I could begin to work on that kind of love. Indeed, the Bible says that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church, and that comes close to what God demands. But how do we love an invisible being? The greatness, the grandeur of God. I don't know about you, but I often think about God, and I always think of his greatness, the fact that we know that the universe is multiplied billions of light years, and we know that God is bigger than that. I'm so overwhelmed by him, I say, how can I love a being I've never seen and a being that is that great? How can I love him with such intensity and passion? And there's a third struggle that I had. I thought to myself, if I ever loved God like that, would I have time for anything else? I mean, can you imagine it? Loving God with all your heart and mind and soul. There are other things in life that we should be doing. But then I came back to the text and I remembered that this is the first and the foremost commandment. The first commandment is not, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Today I feel something like a person who is learning to do high jump. He can only do 4 feet, but the bar is 20 feet, and he's supposed to try. There is a part of me that says it's impossible, but there's another part of me that says, oh God, I wish I would love you like that. I think of David who said, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I stand before God? There's a part of me like there is a part of you that says, oh, I wish I could love God like that. So I speak today as a fellow struggler, and I ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, it says in verse 28, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing. Isn't it nice to know that people actually argued in those days too? And recognizing that he had answered them well, asked Christ, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" If you know anything about Judaism, you know that this is the Shema, because the word Shema means hear. And it is frequently said in Hebrew, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I looked in the commentaries, and they just had brief comments on this verse. Many of them said that what Jesus really meant was just to love him a whole lot, and we shouldn't make a distinction between the heart, the mind, the soul. But on the other hand, as I think about it, I'd like to do just that, to try to understand the depth of the love that we should have for God. So first of all, notice that Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." That means that we should feel deeply about God. Now, I want you to notice that I did not say that we should necessarily feel God. That could be dangerous. God may give us his peace. He may give us his rest, a sense of his presence. But actually, there are times when we need to believe that God is with us even when we don't feel him, because we assume that by faith. And so I'm not talking so much about feeling God as I am feeling deeply about God. For example, about God's reputation in the world. You know, of course, that God's reputation is always intact because he is a being of integrity and greatness. But on the other hand, many people in the world make up their mind about God based on the way in which we act. So when we hear of hypocrisy and when we hear of ministers falling into sin, our first thought should not just be for them, but we should think to ourselves, what does this do for God? People are going to degrade God and his people because of what has happened. We should be protective of the Almighty. We should also feel deeply about sin. Not just because it ruins people, and it does, but because it hurts God. God has feelings too. Remember that. In the Old Testament, there's a very interesting story of Joseph who was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Text says that day after day, she kept saying to him, "Lie with me, come to bed with me." And Joseph kept refusing. And then you know the rest of the story, how she actually caught him and he left his coat in her hands and he fled out the door. But you know, Joseph could have rationalized that relationship. He could have said to himself, "Nobody is going to find out. If they do find out, we can come to the situation armed with a pack of lies so that we can cover our sins. We can handle the consequences. If I feel guilty, I know that God is going to forgive me, because what is his mercy and grace all about if he can't forgive that?" And he could have rationalized it. But there is one thing that Joseph could not rationalize. He said to that woman, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph said, "I know that this sin will grieve God. And I'm concerned about what God thinks about this sin." And that was Joseph's first thought. And that's one thing that he could not explain away or rationalize. I need to ask you something today, even as I ask myself this question. Does God's feelings on a matter, do his feelings affect the way we think? Do you realize that the Bible speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit because of sin in our hearts? And what we should say is, oh God, I feel so deeply about the way you feel about things in the world. I love you so much that my first thought is, what do you think about this? Let me ask you another question. What is idolatry? Idolatry is nothing more than me feeling more deeply about some person or some set of circumstances or some problem than I feel about God. Because the text says, I should love the Lord my God with all my heart, with depth and intensity. And there should be no rival. There should be no possibility that God feels as if he's in competition. Because he's number one, and nobody is anywhere near second place. Now, secondly, Jesus said not only that we should feel deeply, but he said you should love him with all of your soul. As I thought about that, I was reminded that the soul, psychologically speaking, is usually thought of as the area of the will. So what Christ is saying is that we ought to love God by making choices in his favor. In your outline, you'll notice I say that we should choose decisively. Let me ask you something. How do we prove our love one for another? Is it not the willingness to make sacrifices one for another? You know, talk is cheap. We can all say that we love one another. We love this person or that person. But the real issue is, how do we react when we need to sacrifice in their behalf and make a tough choice in their favor? Well, my friend, what I'm saying to you today is simply this. Be sure to make a tough choice for God today. That's ultimately the way in which we love him. And that choice could be something simple like investing a certain amount of time in his presence, saying no to something that you really like to do and yes to something that you know God wants you to do. Sometimes also we make hard choices for God by our willingness to sacrifice, our willingness to be misunderstood by explaining the gospel to someone who later turns against us or perhaps even marginalizes us. But we love God so much that these things really don't matter. Isn't it wonderful that the first command that we love the Lord our God is one, of course, that you and I cannot obey apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is indeed a growing relationship. But as I conclude today, from my heart to yours, my desire is that I might know God better and love him more. And I hope that you and I together can agree that with his help, we're going to do whatever is necessary for that love to increase. So let's look around now and let's make a tough choice in God's favor.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is teaching on the joy of generosity, a study in how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today's lesson was the first on Christ, the Lord of our affections. Next time, more on learning to love God supremely. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.